We're talking to Sterling Lanier, CEO of Tonic Health out of Menlo Park, California. Sterling, thank you for joining us for a few minutes here at the Innovation Summit.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about what you do at Tonic and what's the product all about? What happens there?
Sure. So Tonic is an iPad and web-based patient data collection platform. So we use what we call extreme patient engagement, real-time data analytics, and full CRM functionality to dramatically improve the way that we gather, analyze, and act upon patient data.
And so this whole engagement thing is something that we're hearing a lot more about. So how does this differ from earlier attempts that people have made to get patients involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we started with the idea that we're going to begin with the patient and work backwards and really think deeply about what does patient engagement mean. So we started with a very clear design purpose. We went out and did focus groups. We did the whole market research. And then we constantly iterated on our product to make sure that we were offering an experience that they've never seen in healthcare before. And then once we had that, then we could go to providers who were also doing all this fancy stuff for them as well. So it was a win for the patient and win for the provider. But again, it was really thinking deeply about what is an experience that would get someone to tell a provider more about themselves.
So there's a psychological issue here. There's a trust issue, which I suppose is a subset of psychology.
Yeah.
But how did you approach that? And can you give us an example of something that you're doing that attacks that?
Yeah. Well, I guess there's trust from two sides. So there's trust from the patient, say,
great,
you know,
point.
Can I enter this information? Tonic is actually private labeled by all of our providers, so it's fully brandable with the provider logo. So from a patient's point of view, it seems as though they are providing the information to their physician, right? And which they are, because all the data is going into their EHR. And then from the provider side, trust and credibility of, hey, can Tonic collect all this data and store,
right?
There's a lot of PHI going through this thing, because Tonic's being used for everything from intake to tons of patient screening and risk assessments, and probably our fastest growing area is patient-reported outcomes. We're being used quite heavily for that. So there's a big issue around, hey, can a startup out of Silicon Valley actually collect and manage and store all this data in a meaningful way? I think that just took lots and lots of engineers and developers. And our stance was, do way more than HIPAA requires, and you'll be fine, right? If you
sure.
if you go out to say, let's just meet the requirements, you're going to be in trouble. But instead say, let's blow past them, then you're probably going to be okay.
Does it connect directly to the EHR?
It does connect directly to the EHR. Yeah. So if patient enters data, we push it into the EHR, and we can also have what they call obviously bidirectional communication, where it's pre-populating our surveys and forms with what the patient told us last time.
All right. So then, what happens to the data once it goes into the system?
Yeah, it's up to the provider. Most people tend to do some type of risk assessment or screening on it. Whether they enter, they include a PHQ-9 depression score, or in case of oncology, if they're doing breast cancer risk assessments, they're really looking for, people are using Tonic, or our customers are using Tonic saying, hey, let's not just collect information like demographics, but if we're going to collect this information anyway, let's make it super meaningful. So they'll usually include some type of screening or scoring protocol and then track that patient over time. So in the case of mental health, okay, this is how you scored in January. Now you're coming back for your next visit 4 months later. Hey, Tonic, tell me what the last score was, and then calculate the new score and then graph that for me all in real time, so that the provider, even before that patient leaves the waiting room, the provider gets a full report on here's the scoop with this patient, and here are how they're trending over time. So it's all real time.
It sounds like the provider is the one that's driving the kind of data that you're collecting, correct?
Absolutely. So you can think of Tonic like the cable company. So we're just a distribution platform, and the providers load all the stuff that they want on top of Tonic, and Tonic is the best way to get content out to a patient.
Great.
Yeah.
I think the other theme that we've heard a lot so far, too, is that it's all about culture. It's all about the people.
Yeah.
It isn't just having, like you say, putting a label on it saying this is innovative and therefore it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's absolutely an approach and a mentality. I think when there's so many innovative solutions out there, I mean, sitting in Palo Alto, I feel like every time I walk down to Starbucks, there's another digital health company that I see on the way. So there's not a dearth of solutions. It's a culture and it's a mentality to say what are the right solutions that work for us, and let's really try to change here.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we deal with a lot at HIMSS is talking about the sustainability, creating that environment of innovation. Have you had to deal with that in your organization as a relatively young organization? How do you position yourself as an innovator and know that you're going to stay ahead of all those other organizations that keep popping up?
Well, you know, the good and bad news of being a startup is that it's you have to innovate or you're going to die. So there's you can't rest on your laurels or an earlier product out of a cash flow. To start a company, it has to be more innovative than somebody else, because why would a provider use you versus somebody else who offers a solution that's at parity? And you can't even be 5% better. You have to be dramatically better for them to decide to do something about it. So you almost have to start with that innovative culture mindset, because that's you won't get another paycheck, and all your funding will dry up, and you won't have any customers. So that's just a cost of entry for the startup world, which is obviously different than other cultures. And even in the provider space, certainly the ones that started out were our early adopters for Tonic, and we're in 10 of the top 15 health systems so far, as well as a bunch of others. They really had that mindset, right? And we've been lucky enough that all of our customers have all been inbound, which means that they're out looking for innovative solutions, right? And that's a great thing to see in healthcare.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate
it. Love talking to you.
All right.
You've been listening to Innovation That Sticks. For more great podcasts, visit hims.org/podcasts. Music for today's HIMSS Innovation Podcast is brought to you through a Creative Commons license. Song titled Desperately Happy by the Prefab Messiahs.